Kite flying is not as easy as it looks, as anyone who has propelled his creation straight into a tree can tell you. It's an intricate and ancient art that will be on display this weekend in Lahaina, Maui, at the Chinese Kite Festival. Master kite flyer Robert Loera is on the line to tell us more.
Hello, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. You've been involved with flying kites for quite a while. When did your passion get underway?
Well, early 80s in Honolulu with Alfred Chang and Lincoln Chang, which were the previous presidents of the Hawaii Kite Flyers Association.
Uh-huh. And were you part of that group I see down at Sandy Beach all the time?
Well, there was actually two rival groups that brought it to a peak there in Honolulu in the 80s. I was actually the group that was across from the Kaimana Beach Hotel in beautiful Kapi'olani Park.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, what kind of variety of kites do you see these days?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they have more like art kites. So a lot of the kite artists of the 70s and the 80s, they kind of went into designing interior structures for buildings that were being developed in the future. So those artists actually have gone into much bigger projects, but still, I guess they tie the roots to kite flying when they first got started, like this Mr. George Peters that we have returning to Hawaii after 40 years.
Uh-huh. Art kites, is that a sort of a specialized category?
It is indeed, because the kite artist himself makes it from start to finish. So the engineering in terms of framing is extremely kind of critical. But the interesting thing is that the skins or covers that they put on the kites themselves, a lot of times are done in repetition or they're done in patterns that are very confusing to the eye. So generally what will happen is the kite artist will come up and put up 40 extraordinary kites that just kind of float and move, and they have a rhythm in the sky that is kind of it's a very peaceful feeling.
So you can get, depending on the pattern of your kites, you can get quite a spectacular look when they're in motion, yeah?
Amazing, yeah. There are quite a few of those kites we have on display actually in the cannery right now. So we have them hanging. I've had three or four giant kites over 20 feet in the ceiling, including a beautiful Chinese kite or centipede kite from George Peters that stretches about 60 feet long.
I find it amazing that you could even get something like that airborne without it getting all tangled up.
Well, that's what makes us experts.
I suppose. Well, what's the engineering component of making kites?
Well, materials are extremely important, you know, the wind conditions. So there are kites that are created for strong, gusty winds, like you would say trade winds.
Mm-hmm.
And then these more traditional art kites, which like a lot of wind under 18 miles an hour, tend to prefer winds much like the soft Kona winds, you know, in the 10 to 15 mile an hour range. They don't vary very much.
So when you're going out to fly kites, I would think you'd have to pay a lot of attention to wind conditions and pick your kite accordingly. Is that true?
Pretty basic, yeah. You don't want to get overpowered. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and the wind's blowing 15 to 35 and you put yourself up a 500 square foot canopy, you're in for some excitement if you don't know what you're doing.
I would imagine. How far back does this history go?
Well, pretty interesting thing they say that. You know, I've seen in the early 70s, there was a magazine that was called Kiting that I think was produced by Mr. Bob Ingram, if I recall correctly. And on that cover, I remember a 30-foot-wide kite made by a Filipino family in Honolulu. And it was amazing because back in the early 70s, they figured out structurally with natural framing, right, like bamboo. They didn't have fiberglass and carbon fiber like we had in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was intriguing that in the 70s that there were quite a few master kite makers in Honolulu that made kites over 20 feet regularly.
What's a good standard size, let's say, for somebody who wants to get involved in the sport but, doesn't have any experience? What's a good way to get underway?
Oh, the funny thing is, you know, you just go out with your family and you can go out on a light Kona wind day or a light day under 10 miles an hour. I'd go out with a $5 kite and have a great experience. I think you only need to invest $200 or $300 into a kite when, you know, you want to be seen. You know, that tends to make more of a statement. The kite could be more maneuverable, it could be larger, it could be more colorful. So it doesn't require very much investment and very easy to make a basic kite at home with just ordinary materials like bamboo and plastic trash bags. So you don't have to invest much to get into it. It's just a matter of can we go back to that old, you know, follow the instructions and make something basic out of basic materials and feel satisfied with it.
You say, but you also talk about kites that do involve a $200-$300 investment. What are those made with the materials you mentioned, fiberglass, things like that?
That is incredible. That's a great question because in my mind, you're right. What changed from the 90s to now is the creation of kites bigger than football fields with no framing at all, using actually a tensioning system internally with lines to keep the parachute material into a certain shape. So, those are easy to see online. Go to peterlinkites.com from New Zealand, and you'll see kites in every shape possible, including 300-foot humpback whales.
A 300-foot kite.
It's a frameless kite. Yeah, they're called ram air. They're very similar to how the principles of parachutes work, where the wind went inside the hold of the pukas. So these kites have huge mouths, and they inflate the air. And since the parachute material captures the air, it doesn't escape, right? Because there's not an exit point. So it becomes a big, fine-shaped, three-dimensional that can be flown with probably lines that are 2,000 and 3,000 pounds, 10 lines. So, the bigger the kite is, the harder the pull.
Well, at some point, is this kite going to pick you up and carry you away?
If you don't know what you're doing, you're right. But most of these kites will only be displayed when the wind's about 5 to 15, so it's relatively very safe. When the kites are on the ground, we kind of do the same thing that you would see in a balloon festival. We won't be doing that this year. But you can walk 1,000 or 2,000 people inside the kite. It's so large. It's a beautiful kaleidoscope of color. I mean, kite festivals are fascinating. We're only in our fourth year here, and, it's a great thing to see. But the kiting and kites are amazing, and April is National Kite Month.
Yeah, so I hear. I would expect that you're seeing. Do you see a kind of a growing number of enthusiasts at each year's festival?
Well, the beautiful thing is about it is I was somewhat retired from the kiting. I was big in the 20s, going to the international festivals. But now that I'm in my 60s, it is because of great people like the Woking Museum and Dr. Busa Bayef that has recognized that I have a talent and a love of showing kites. And recently inherited another huge kite collection, which we'll be showing off on Sunday as well. So we've got a lot of surprises. We want people to come out, see what we're doing, and we're continuing the tradition of the Hawaii Kite Flyers Association here in Maui. And anybody who wants to join us, please come out. It's a community event. It's all about having fun and just being with each other. It's a great event.
And there's quite a bit of skill involved just in handling, especially one of these specialized kites, I would think.
You're right. The big kites I kind of like to do, and they're not as pretty, but they do a lot of lifting duties. And so, but Mr. George Peters will put up with the beautiful artistic kites, which, of course, will captivate everybody. And then we have a visiting kite flyer from Honolulu, Scott Ogenbog, which is a multi-line flyer. That's another way that, we know that in kite surfing, right, multi-lines, it's more than one line. And it's the same thing with a kite flying. There are a lot of multi-line kites, four-line kites that you can kind of control, similar to what you're doing, controlling the wind, spilling the wind off of the wind when you're on a board with a kite. But they're smaller, more maneuverable kites. They're used generally for kind of razzle-dazzling the crowd. You put a tail on them, and you hover and float them, and, you knock a hat off of their head. But kiting is a lot of fun, It's not.
It sounds like it, Robert.
Anybody can do it.
Well, thanks a lot for talking with us, Robert. Master kite flyer Robert Luera will take part in a Chinese kite festival this Friday and Saturday at Woking Museum on Front Street in Lahaina. And you can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.